Honored to have you that are new, and those of you that are kind of new, been coming lately, and those who've been here since the beginning. Praise the Lord. John 3, verse 27, the Bible says this: John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. I want to bring out three statements by three of the greatest men that ever walked the earth on this subject of remembering where it all came from. Remembering where it all came from. As we are approaching what we call traditionally the Thanksgiving season, we need to remember where it all came from. These statements today will help our attitude and remind ourselves of what the Bible says so that we will be thankful people. If we're not careful, we can take things for granted, especially here in America. I heard one preacher one time, I guess he borrowed a phrase from the world, if you will, but I think he hit the truth on the head of the nail when he said this: if you live in America, you have hit the lottery. No matter who you are, you've hit the lottery if you live in America. And we can take things for granted if we're not careful. And I hope that this message this morning will be a little bit of preventative medicine for our souls, because I believe that Thanksgiving is one of the best medicines for the human soul that you'll ever take, that you'll ever practice. It'll change every marriage, it'll change every family, it'll change every workplace, it'll change, you know, we just seem to be living in a society that's permeated with complaining about politicians, about taxes, about whatever, potholes, you name it. When we ought to be a society permeated with Thanksgiving, just permeated with it. It'll change your attitude about your church, about your workplace, about your neighborhood, about your age, your status in life, if we'll learn to be thankful. The Bible's a book of prophecy. It's amazing. One-third of the Bible is prophecy, that is, predictions about the future before they ever happen. It's a fascinating study. One of those, in 2 Timothy 3, says this: "This know also, then the last days, perilous times shall come." Sounds like today. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." And the next word is this: unthankful. Unthankful. According to the Bible, one of the signs of the times of what the world will become like before Jesus Christ comes back for his second coming, that people will be unthankful. But just because that's a prophecy doesn't mean we have to participate in it. We can be thankful people. And I think if we will remember where it all came from, it will help us be more thankful. Have we forgotten? I hope not. I hope I'm preaching to the choir today. But John the Baptist was called by Jesus one time the greatest prophet that was ever born of women. That's quite a statement, especially when you consider the fact Jesus never lied, he never exaggerated, he never stretched the truth, he never flattered people just to make them feel good. When Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever born of women, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And so it pays us well to pay attention to the words of John the Baptist. And here in verse 27, our text, John said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. We need to understand and have the deep conviction that John had, that everything we ever accumulate in life, whether it's in the material realm where Americans so often focus, or the physical realm, our bodies, our health, or the spiritual realm, salvation and all the things God has revealed to us and showed us, we've got to understand we could receive nothing except to be given us from above. Now, some people struggle with that statement because, frankly, they're hardworking people, and we applaud that. Some people are blue-collar laborers. Some are white-collar laborers. Some work bull work. It's physical, their jobs. Others, it's mental, and all of it works together in this world, makes the world go around. When everyone contributes and work hard, and people work hard. And as a result of their hard work, especially in this country, they're able to accumulate things beyond our needs. We have been able to accumulate things in our country beyond our needs, to our greeds, even to the point of covetousness, which is never right. The Lord one time told this parable in Luke chapter number 12, beginning at verse 16. He said, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no rooms where to bestow my fruits.' And he said this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" And so we have to be careful about accumulation. There's nothing wrong with accumulation. There's nothing wrong with owning things, but there is... The Bible is very clear that greed is wrong and covetousness is wrong. And at the drop of a hat, a believer in Christ should be willing to sell what they have and help the poor or help some missionary or whatever and help somebody in a need. This man got his whole life out of focus and out of perspective. He thought it was all because of him, and he was a hardworking man. He became a rich man. I want you to turn back to the book of Deuteronomy, and this helps us to put in perspective what John the Baptist was saying when he said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. In Deuteronomy chapter number 8, in verse number 10, it says this: "When thou hast eaten and art full..." Now God is talking to Israel and he's telling them, "Look, you got a glorious future. I'm going to take you into the promised land and it's going to be great. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee." I know this is talking about Israel, but I think we can make an application. God has given us a good land here in America. Verse 11: "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multitude and all that thou hast is multiplied." And I'm going to have to skip some of this for time. But go to verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Listen, "for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. There's no sin in having wealth. But what's wrong is when we forget that God is the one that gave us the power to get the wealth. He is the one that has blessed us. He has blessed our health. And those of you, whether you're bull workers or you're in a job more that is mental, it is the Lord that gives you the power to get wealth, to work hard. We have men in this room literally work 60, 70 hours a week. They work hard, and God has rewarded their labor and blessed them with a lot of things. But we need to remember always it's God that gave us power to get wealth. Another man by the name of David put it this way. David became an extremely rich man. He was a man after God's own heart. God just blessed him and poured out a lot of material blessings in his life. And at the end of his life, a temple needed to be built for the next generation. And it says he served his generation by the will of God, and he didn't live a selfish, self-centered life. He said, when I die, I want to leave something behind that's going to continue to bless future generations. And so actually for 27 of the last years of his life, he began to prepare for the building of the temple in Israel. It's just fascinating. But as he was giving his offerings, and they're staggering, they're actually listed in the Bible what he gave, he made this statement as he was giving as an act of worship to God. He said in 1 Chronicles 29:10, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all." Listen, verse 12. "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." And in verse 14 he says, "For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." What's David saying? He's saying, listen, all these things that I'm giving right here, you gave them to me in the first place. He says, I am just giving back. He says in verse 14, "But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine have we given thee." Verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is thine own." Do we have that attitude? We should. I remember when we were growing up, when my kids were growing up, and Christmas would come around, we would give them money for Christmas presents, and then they'd buy Christmas presents for us. Remember those days? My kids are in their 20s now. They got their own money, but back then, we need some money, you know, and they had all these secrets and stuff. They were going to get me this and mom this and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. We had to give them the money in the first place. So we'd give them the money, then we'd go to the store, and they'd run over here and there, and we wouldn't be able to watch them, and they'd try to check out, and who knows what happened there, but then they'd hide them and wrap them and everything, and then they'd just be thrilled to give them back to us on Christmas Day. We paid for it. Now, we chuckle and laugh at it, but folks, that's what life's like. Our Father in heaven gives us that. You say, no, I work for it. Yeah, but he gives us the power to get wealth. He gives us the health. In Acts chapter number 17, it says this, beginning at verse 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him." And I love this statement, "though he be not far from every one of us." Amen? He's not far. But notice this, verse 28. "For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring." Look at verse 25. "Seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things." Well, it'd be awful hard to go to work Monday if you didn't have any breath, or if you didn't have any life. Verse 28, "For in him we live and move," that's mobility, "and have our being," our existence. The Apostle Paul is talking here to those in Greece. And he's saying, look, we got to understand some things here. Our life comes from the Lord. Our breath comes from the Lord. All things come from the Lord. Our movements, our mobility. We have our being. That is our existence. And he reminds us. Something we got to remember. All things come from God. I respect hard work. I try to work hard at what I do. But let's not forget where the ability just to move. Our mental faculties. You know, as I was looking around here earlier, I see about 5 men in this room who are disabled. Who may, I don't know, who may never work again. They might. They might not, I don't know. That happens. That happens. That's a very real possibility for people. They want to work. But they have a disability. Something's happened. They're not able to. I think in their hearts they're saying amen to the sermon this morning. Because they know mobility is something. And health is something that should not be taken for granted, but should be appreciated. And those of you that do work, they used to. Please, let's not get proud about this thing, about our health, our mobility. We pray for their healing. We try to help them. We love them. God loves them. I was in a doctor's office Friday, and he had a statement up on his board that every human body on earth has between 100 and 10,000 cancer cells lying in it dormant. Every single, now, considering there's 100 trillion cells in a body, that's microscopic, okay? Microscopic, but sometimes those few hundred or 10,000 attach themselves to a gland, they'll attach themselves to an organ or something like that, and then in some cases you're in for the fight of your life. And because of a lot of the advances, there's been a lot of victory and so on and so forth. It is your immune system that fights back those cancer cells constantly all of your life. And should there be a moment in our time where that immune system fails to function properly, we need to understand that lying dormant in every one of us is the potential for cancer. These people that get cancer, and my mom died when she was 43, it wasn't like they got it from some outside source or something. It was lying there dormant. And then it began to multiply and go crazy. And some of you know more about that than I do. But these thoughts this morning help us to understand what John said when he said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So if you work, if you've accumulated a lot of things, praise the Lord for them. Be willing to give them up if he asks to help somebody else or help something else or something, but man, be humble about it. Be thankful. Remember where it all came from. Now, I got 2 more. I promise you, these would be a lot shorter. But turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. We saw what the greatest prophet ever that walked the earth said, John the Baptist, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Now I want to look at something the Apostle Paul said. As far as I'm concerned, he was the greatest Christian the world's ever known. That's perhaps debatable. But he certainly became a great Christian. Man, I don't know of a man that ever suffered as much as Paul did for Jesus Christ. That's how much he loved the Lord. He said these words in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Notice especially the middle of the verse. It says this, for who maketh thee to differ from another? For what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? You notice what he says in the middle of the verse, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Paul is saying the same thing John's saying here. What do you have that you didn't receive? What do you have that ultimately God didn't give you or didn't give you the ability to get? Now then, he says at the end, now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? What are you boasting about? When all the time, it is something that the Lord gave us. You see, life is basically comprised of three different realms. And in all those realms, it is the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Every one of us lives in the physical realm with our own bodies. We just talked about that. Amazing miracles, every one of us, our own bodies. 100 trillion cells, 98% of them multiply themselves at least once every year. It's fascinating. You can study it all your life and never grasp how amazing the human body is, how God keeps it going. Everything we have in the physical realm is from the Lord. The material realm, I talked about that too already. Whether or not God gave it to us or we went out and earned it, he was the one that gave us the physical strength, the health to get those things. But there's also the spiritual realm. Once in a while, you'll see somebody who accepts Christ as their Savior. Their whole life has changed. Amen. That's a wonderful thing. That's a work of God. Then they start to grow in the Lord, and God starts to show them things from the Bible. They become well-learned in the Bible. But then they flip and start acting like they were the ones that figured it all out. They get proud about their Bible knowledge and so on. A man can receive nothing. You and I cannot understand the Bible unless God, the Holy Spirit, teaches it to us. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, it says, because they're spiritual. Receiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness unto him. I'm back in chapter 2:14. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know what's amazing? This could happen to you every day of your life if you wanted to. I'm serious, till you die. You can open up the Bible, and if you spend enough time in it, eventually you're going to say, wow, guess what I learned today? Because this book's inexhaustible. You can study this the rest of your life and say, wow, man, I was down in the prison yesterday. This prisoner came up to me. And he's about this tall, stocky fella. I don't know what he's in. I don't ask him. I don't know why he's in. I don't ask him anything. He comes up to me, and he says, Book of Exodus. God says, I am that I am. He says, I am sent you. Because God's name is I am. Yeah, you're right. That's good. Book of John, chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said, I am. So that's my name, I am. I'm waiting for the point, you know? It's all right. They're both the same. I didn't want to say, I've known that for 40 years, you idiot. I didn't want to take away that moment from him. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't want to take away that moment from him. I said, brother, you're right. I said, God has shown you something there. Don't ever forget it. See, whether it's that guy, a babe in Christ who just got saved, figuring something out, or you've been saved 40 years or 50 years, if you know anything about the Bible, it's because God showed it to you. If you've ever had a prayer answered, it's because God answered the prayer. If you've ever had a miracle done for you in your life or someone else, it's because God did the miracle. Let's not act. You know, if you've ever led someone to Christ, be careful. It's the Lord that saved them. Let's not be boasting. If you've ever given something to the Lord, some mount or something, don't be boasting about that. The Lord enabled you to give it. You've got to be careful. You've got to remember. where it all came from. Job, he knew. He was arguing with his wife one day. Amen? Job chapter 1, verse 21. It's in the Bible. And he said to her, he said, "The Lord taketh away. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He was able to get through one of the most severe trials God ever allowed a man to go through because he remembered the truth I'm trying to preach this morning. He remembered where it all came from. I'm privy to a little story this week. It blessed my heart. A couple told me about how much they lost in the Gowanda flood. Just this week, talking to them. Blessed my heart when they said these words. But those were only material things. Amen? Those were only material things. Amen. That's the attitude. Remember where it all came from. Finally, turn to the book of James. James was the Lord's half-brother. Did you know that? It tells us in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9 that James was the brother of our Lord. Check that out. What did he say? He wrote this little book called James, 5 chapters long. Could read it this afternoon, but just want to read a verse and then we'll close in prayer. In James chapter number 1 and verse 17, verse 16, he says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And in the next verse, he especially talked about our salvation. "Of his own will begat he us, birthed he us, with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures." Every good gift and every perfect gift, whatever category you want to put it in, something good, something perfect. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights. 3 witnesses today. John the Baptist, "A man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven." The Apostle Paul, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" James, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father." Remember where it all came from and thank him for the use of it while you have it. Amen. Boy, that'll fix marriages. The good Lord's allowed me to have this wife for 31 years. And I don't know, you know, how much longer it'll be. Things happen sometimes. But they'll fix your marriage, folks. Kids, it'll fix your attitude at home. If you realize you got a roof over your head and 3 squares a day and you got a place of safety, from the storms, and you got mom and dad that love you and care about you, or one or the other, and they're feeding you and they're not charging you, amen, trying to fix your teeth and trying to keep you healthy, all those things, it'll change your whole life if you remember where it all came from. Like as to bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer, and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we're just going to have a word of prayer. Now for those of you that are new, we have at our church here what we call an invitation, an altar call. We do this every week. Every church is different. We just encourage people to take a moment and pray. If the Lord has spoken to their hearts, if the Lord hasn't spoken to your heart, boy, then you really ought to pray. But maybe we have forgotten today. Maybe we have forgotten where it all came from. Maybe we didn't mean to, but maybe we haven't been given the Lord the thanks that's due to his name. Just want to take some time and give thanks to the Lord today. Our Heavenly Father, we pray you just bless our song now. And may it speak to our hearts and our altar call. Lord, if there's anybody that needs to know the Lord as their Savior, we pray they might be willing to come and let somebody show them how they can be saved from sin have the free gift that you provided for them of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, anybody else with a need that they come before the Lord, help us to remember the sermon from months ago where we should thank the Lord for all things, but we should also thank Him in all things. Maybe some are going through some real hard times. Lord, help them to come and just thank you for it and learn what you're trying to teach them through those hard times. Please meet needs now in people's souls, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.